and the tune is Saint Ethelreda. Now you'll find my text this morning in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1 and verse 2. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And a woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Dear congregation, in the book of Hebrews, we are presented with certain heroes of faith. Men and women who were in different circumstances and in different situations exercising faith. And they were noteworthy. Certain men, certain women. Like Abraham and Isaac, and like Moses, God's servant here before us in Exodus. Now he was noted for his faith, but also his parents. In Hebrews 11 verse 23 we read, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. There is the faith of Moses' parents. Well, today I'd like us to begin looking at the life of Moses. If you recall, those of you who regularly come along to the chapel here, we have been looking at a series in this past year of notable men and women in the Bible. Well, now we come to consider Moses. And as a theme this morning, I'd like us to think of Moses, God's servant, that arrived. Moses, God's servant, that arrived. And 4 things the Lord enabling. First of all, born in testing times. Secondly, God-fearing helpers. And there we consider the midwives. Thirdly, believing parents. And then fourthly, deliverance from danger. Born in testing times, God-fearing helpers, believing parents, deliverance from danger. Verse 1, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. Well, let's consider first of all then, born in testing times. Now come with me back to chapter 1 and verse 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. There was increase in accordance to the promise that had been given to Abraham, and that increase was great. You notice those words there, and increased abundantly and multiplied. Such increase. But sadly, there was a new king, a Pharaoh, who knew not Joseph. There had been days of blessing under Joseph, and now there had come great increase. But here's a new chapter on the horizon. There's a new king, a new Pharaoh, who did not know Joseph. Whilst Joseph was alive, all was well. But now things had so dramatically changed. In verse 8 of chapter 1 we read, now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Those that knew Joseph really loved him. But this king did not. He had no regard for him. He would not recognize what he had done and the blessing that had come under him. How sad it was. There was great increase, but here now is a king that did not know Joseph. He would pay no respect, and in particular, he would pay no regard to the God of Joseph. In Acts 7, verse 17, we read, but when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. So here is a pivotal time in the history of Israel. And what testing times these were. The day in which Moses was born. Now in Acts 7 verse 19 we're given a little more detail. Remember Stephen, he was answering his accusers and he spake of these days. Acts 7 verse 19, the same dealt subtlety with our kindred and evil entreated our fathers so that they cast out their young children to the end that they might not live. What evil! What cruelty! Acts 7 verse 20, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. There was great cruelty taking place and Moses was born in the midst of this cruelty. Testing times. Just notice verse 14 of chapter 1. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service, wherein they made them serve, was with rigour. So difficult for them. It was hard work. Labouring in such a way was hard work. But added to that was the cruelty of the Egyptians under Pharaoh. How they mistreated the Israelites. Their lives were bitter with hard bondage. What a bondage it was. Yes, the hard work affected their bodies, but oh, we see the persecution, it affected their minds as well. Testing times in which Moses was born. And as we think of these things here this morning, are we not reminded that many of our brothers and sisters in Christ are facing testing times at this very moment? Consider China and North Korea. Eritrea, places of great persecution. While we have our comfort, so many of our brothers and sisters go without. Their lives are so difficult at this present time. Consider the situation in China. There's been great increase. We're told by conservative men, 100 million believers in China in the last few years. So many, But so many at this present time have been rounded up, falsely accused. Pastors have been taken into prison without trial. Women have been beaten brutally. Dreadful things are happening in China. Great increase, but great persecution. Think of North Korea. Years ago, there were days of great blessing. There was the great revival of 1907. And we're told on the 12th night of 1907, those that are gathered in the church described the presence of God, and they said this: a sense of God's nearness, impossible of description. Words failed them. God had so come on the 12th night in 1907. In January, God had so come. Oh, we long for such a day, don't we? When God would come. Remember Psalm 80, look down from heaven and visit the vine. And our prayer is to the Lord, Lord, thou art looking on the vine, on the church. Now come where thou art looking. Well, in 1907, the Lord came where he was looking. Days of great blessing. But what followed? A baptism of sufferings. And all that has continued to this very day. What the Lord's people are facing in North Korea. Then think of Eritrea. Much blessing has been known in that part of Africa, but also much persecution. So many of the Lord's people, particularly God's servants, have found themselves in containers, not just for a few weeks or months, but for years, held in containers, forced to work in hard labour camps, made to carry rocks up mountains, simply because of their faithfulness to the king. They had a respect to the crown rights of Christ. What suffering there is in this world. You see, when there are ungodly rulers, suffering comes. In Proverbs 29 verse 2 we read, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And so they did in Egypt. The children of Israel, they mourned. They sighed, we're told. And so many today, they sigh, they mourn over the difficulties. They're having to look out the window to make sure no one is coming. They have to be so careful as they walk down the street in what they say to their friend, in case there's someone behind them listening. So difficult for so many of the Lord's people. These are testing times, as it was for the children of Israel, the days in which Moses was born. Now, we do not face what our brethren are facing in China or North Korea or Iran or Eritrea by a long way. But the clouds have gathered on the horizon. And we've witnessed, have we not, in recent years, how the Bible has been so challenged again in this nation. There were better days. Yes, there were days of persecution, but then there came better days. And there was this general fear of God. The churches and chapels were filled. But all the Bible has been challenged so much. And at this present time, our liberties are threatened. Christians who take biblical standpoints have been mocked. You consider the biblical view of marriage. Many have been called unloving and unkind who agree with the biblical view and do not support the view that has been promoted in this nation. Young people have been laughed at in schools and in colleges. These are testing times. Children from godly homes have been born and brought up in these times. And you children here, you can relate to the days of Moses to some measure. It's testing times. You were born in these days and you're being brought up in these days. Testing times. But let us remember the time of our birth was fixed by the Lord. In Job 14 verse 5 we read, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Our days were determined, the day of our birth. Now, we may have had a desire to have been born in a better day in this country. Maybe 50 years ago or 80 years ago. In days of great blessing when many gathered to hear the preaching of the gospel, that which we read of in our history books. We may have had a desire to have been born in those days, but the Lord in his providence brought us into this world in these testing days. And these are the days in which we are to serve the Lord. We who love the Lord, we've been raised up for this day. Remember Esther? The Jews were in trouble. Their lives were threatened. Mordecai said to Queen Esther in Esther 4 verse 14, "For if thou altogether hoardest thy peace at this time, then shall there enlarge and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" You see there, Mordecai's reasoning with Queen Esther. "Knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Surely it is. And it was. Esther was raised up at the right time to be a blessing to her kindred and to her people. And she was faithful, and so we are to be faithful. The Lord has raised us up for such a time as this. We're to be the salt and we're to be the light. In Matthew 5 verse 13 we read, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." We're the salt, and we're to be of good influence by our example, by the words we say and the things we do. We are the salt. Let us not blend in with the world. Let us do the world good by being salt. Let us be those who seek to maintain the truth and defend it. And then we're the light. You're the light of the world. Salt to be of influence. Light to show the way. These are testing times. But we are the salt and the light. The Lord's people can be worn down. And there are certain ministers who are being worn down at this present time. But we are the people to serve the Lord. We've been raised up for this day. Moses was born in testing times, so we have been born in testing times. Thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this, and it's our privilege to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, says Joshua. Let us serve the Lord in these testing times. Well, let's go on to consider secondly now, God-fearing helpers. God-fearing helpers. Come with me to chapter 1 and verse 15. "And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Zipporah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew woman, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive." They were commanded to kill the Hebrew boys. But the midwives feared God. You think of a midwife. They're to help the mother. Well, here are God-fearing helpers. They feared God. And this in turn was not only a blessing to Moses, but to many other lads. Moses was born in these testing times. God had raised up some God-fearing midwives. In the eyes of many, nothing. But in the eyes of God, as precious. And these midwives, they feared God. Verse 17, "But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. They had this awe of God and respected the sanctity of life. You see, Pharaoh wanted these midwives to disobey God's law, but they were faithful. They feared God. And are we not thankful for God-fearing midwives today who've been a blessing? We think here of a God-fearer. What is a God-fearer? Well, it's a true believer. They have a deep respect for God. There is this all within. There is, as one has put it, this holy affection. There's this awe of God, such a respect. And one desires to keep his word. Yes, we fail, but it's our desire, isn't it? And out of respect to God, we are found saying no at times. Remember, Potiphar's wife sought to tempt Joseph, but he had a great respect of God. In Genesis 39, verse 9, we read, "There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How then?" But the midwives, they were saying similar, "How then could we do this?" They feared God, so did Joseph. They acted in the fear of God, having faith with him. And we're reminded of Noah, aren't we, in Hebrews 11, verse 7, another hero of faith. "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Noah, the man of faith. And he was moved with fear. By faith, moved with fear. We bring it together. He looked to the Lord and acted with a godly fear in his heart, like the midwives. They went about their business in the fear of God. And so we are to do likewise. And so there'll be times when we say no, because by faith we look to the Lord and we act in the fear of God. Remember what our Lord said to those certain ones who were testing him, seeking to trip him up. In Mark 12, verse 17, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Now we are to be known as good law-abiding citizens. But we also need to remember that God comes first in all things. And though we seek to be good law-abiding citizens, when it comes to a certain thing which is wrong, we render unto God that which is God's. You see, we're to act in the fear of God, having this respect as you go about your business, to have this respect of God as you do your duties, and how we need to question at times, does the Lord approve of this? Or does he disapprove? Now, difficult situations will come. Testing times will come. How our hearts go out to godly young people and children growing up in these days. We pray yet the tide would turn. But these are testing times at the present time. And there will be difficulties. Whereas the Lord's people will be tested like Peter and the apostles. You remember they had been brought before the council. How did they respond when they were accused of certain things? Acts 5, verse 29, "We ought to obey God rather than man." We ought to obey God rather than man. I remember one of my first tests in the workplace. I was 17 years of age. At this time of year, we used to go to another part of the firm near Petersfield to dig trees. Well, there the firm wanted us all to work every Lord's Day until the end of the year. Well, there were two of us Christians, and we knew we had to go and speak to the manager. We knew that the work was not necessary, nor was it an act of mercy. And so two of us waited outside his room, and we went in. He wouldn't listen. We went back to our end of the firm, and we spoke to our manager. And we presented the same situation. Amazingly, the Lord intervened and there was no work on that coming Lord's Day. So no one went to work. You see, the Lord will honour. He will test. There'll be tests for you, but he will honour. We see how the Lord honoured the midwives. Come with me to verse 20 of chapter 1. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. How he deals well. He's so gracious. I think of those words in Psalm 23 verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Dear brothers and sisters, the Lord has always dealt well with us, even in the storms. Even when he's chastised me and rebuked me, he has dealt well with me. In Psalm 34 verse 6 we read, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And we've tasted. And we've tasted that the Lord is good. He deals well with us. How he supports us in affliction. How he leads us on. How he provides. He provides all our needs. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives. The Lord honours those that honour him. 1 Samuel 2 verse 30. For them that honour me, I will honour. You may be tested by men, but the great God of heaven, who owns 1,000 cattle, or the cattle on 1,000 hills, will honour you and bless you. The Lord will bless. You act in the fear of God. Though it may be costly from one perspective, the Lord will deal kindly with you. He will deal well with you. And he will bless. God blesses the God-fearer. We see that in Malachi 3 verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord heard, and a book of remembrance was written. He remembers. He doesn't forget you. You may be the only one in the school, or the sixth form, or the college, or the workplace who is taking a stand on something. God stands alongside you and he will honour you. He will bless you. He doesn't forget. Well, these midwives, they acted in the fear of God. And as we think of this, how important it is that we exercise faith each day. That we look to the Lord. If we're going to be acting in the fear of God, we need to think about him. If there's going to be this awe in our hearts, we need to think about God. We need to exercise faith. We need to be much in the Word. Let the Lord speak to you. We want to walk pleasing him. Let the Lord speak to me and to you. Remember Noah? He was moved and acted in the fear of God. That's how we want to live, isn't it? We want to be known as a God-fearer. One who fears the Lord and knows that accompanying joy in doing so. When we move on more briefly, thirdly, believing parents, believing parents. Come with me to verse 1 of chapter 2. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And a woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. The man's name was Amram, and the lady's name was Jochebed. Well, in the favour and providence of God, through the Spirit, faith had been put within their hearts. We know that, because in Hebrews 11, verse 23, we read, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. The faith of his parents. When he was born, he was hid. You see, both the parents looked to the Lord and they knew what to do. We read here of the mother. We're told that she hid him 3 months. Pharaoh had threatened, but peace had filled their hearts as they looked to the Lord and they hid their baby son, Moses. Moses had believing parents. Now let me ask you, have you faith in your heart? Are you acting in faith? Remember those words, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? Looking? Are you looking? Can you exercise faith now? Can you look unto Jesus? Are you considering him? And is there this holy affection in your heart? Well, Moses' parents had faith. And when they were tested, they looked to the Lord. Trials will come. The Lord will test you and me. Remember how he tested Abraham. And Abraham's faith was tested. And your faith is going to be tested. There will come the trial of your faith. Your walk through the valley. Your walk through the fire. And through the river. How are you going to walk through the valley? How are you going to walk through the river and the fire? Are you going to walk looking unto Jesus, who will see you through? Thomas Watson wrote, "Reason may wade, but faith swims." In the trial, oh, that the faith would swim. Sometimes we try to reason and we're wading, aren't we, like Peter? But then faith swims. Well, Moses' parents had faith, and they were noted for having faith. Is your faith noted? Now, often people's faith is noted in testing times. To see a brother or sister looking to the Lord, it's so hard for them. They're going through such a severe test, but they're trusting Jesus. And you know what a help that can be to another Christian, to see that Christian in the fire of adversity trusting Jesus. Yes, it's hard for them. You see their struggles, you're aware of their tears. You know they're perplexed, but they're looking to Jesus. They're trusting Jesus. Does your faith shine out? You know, a little light or candle in the dark shines out brightly in the darkness of affliction. Oh, that my faith would shine out brightly like it was for Moses' parents. Oh, trust the Lord. Let the Lord be glorified in you trusting him, and let others see your faith. There's danger, but you're looking to the Lord. There was danger for Moses and for all those other lads, but the parents trusted the Lord. Well, here we have believing parents. Not all have believing parents. And as we consider the situation today, it's most common, isn't it? So many children do not have believing parents today. It's the case for so many. Only a few hear of Jesus in the home. Only a few enjoy the privilege of family worship. Only a few today. Our hearts go out to the children who have not the privilege. I know many of you children listening on have the privilege of hearing the word, but it's not the case for all, is it? And our hearts go out to those children where the parents don't love the Lord. And the parents don't tell them of Jesus. And the parents don't open up the scriptures. Oh, it's our prayer today, isn't it? That the shepherd would go after thousands of children. And thousands of children this day would be found in the arms of him. Isaiah 40 verse 11, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms." Oh, let there be a gracious gathering today. Let there be this loving gathering, this compassionate gathering. So it is when Jesus gathers. He gathers graciously. He gathers lovingly. He gathers compassionately. That's how we were gathered. Many of us as children, we were gathered by the shepherd. For some of us a little older, oh, the many children would be gathered by the shepherd. How the Lord takes care of so many. Now there are a number who have had believing parents. It was my privilege, and I know for some of you, not all of you, but for some of you, it was the same. Parents who prayed for you. Parents who opened up the scriptures to teach you of God's way. Parents who conducted family worship in the home. In Psalm 118, verse 15, we have a little insight to the home of the children of Israel. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. There it is. There's family worship in the home. There's rejoicing in God's salvation. And blessed is the home where the parents lead in family worship. Maybe the father, if he's there, or if the father's gone off early or is late back, it's the mother, isn't it? Often it's the mother has the chief responsibility at times. But blessed are the homes where the children hear of Jesus, who is God's salvation. Blessed are the homes where the parents have such a love to the Lord and there's a godly concern for their children. The children know they are cared for, not only physically, but spiritually. Mum and Dad has a concern for my spiritual well-being. I love the Lord myself, you may be saying. My parents love me and they're seeking to help me. As I grow up in this world, they're there for me. They pray for me. They come alongside. Moses knew the privilege of godly parents. What a blessing godly parents are. Matthew Henry wrote, "It is a happy thing where yoke fellows draw nigh together in the yoke of faith as heirs of the grace of God, and when they do this in a religious concern for the good of their children." Parents coming together, praying for their children, seeking the Lord's blessing upon them, that the Lord would guide and direct them. Remember Manoah, the father of Samson? He entreated the Lord. He looked to the Lord. In Judges 13, verse 8, "Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." Verse 12, "And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him?" There's the parents seeking the Lord for direction and guidance, and blessed are the children who have such parents. See, Manoah and his wife wanted to act, having sought direction. Listen to William Googe. "There is no one thing wherein and whereby parents may do more good for their children than in and by true prayer." And I'm so thankful for parents who prayed for me. What a blessing. Who seek the Lord's direction and favour. Blessed are the homes where there is believing parents. Who show love and concern. Who teach their children of heavenly things. Who have this joy in their hearts in view of Jesus. What a blessing for children to see joy in the hearts of the mum or the dad in view of Jesus. Yes, there is natural joy. Many children see a natural joy. What a blessing to see a spiritual joy. One rejoicing in Jesus. What a blessing. Believing parents will want to make their homes as happy as possible for their children's sake. Yes, sadness comes, but they desire happiness. I saw my family happy, sat on a bench at Swanage, and my boys with big smiles on their face as they held these ice creams in their hands. It was happiness. Oh, happiness, what a blessing in godly homes where there is wholesome laughter. In Ecclesiastes 3 verse 4, "A time to weep and a time to laugh." There are times of weeping, times of sorrow, times when the tears flow down. But it's also a time to laugh. And blessed are the godly homes where the laughter is wholesome and pleasing to the Lord. Well, here we think of believing parents. May the Lord help believing parents. May the Lord bless them. May the Lord bless those homes. Well, fourthly, as we draw to a close now, deliverance from danger. Deliverance from danger. Come with me to verse 10. Of chapter 2. "And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. Now we all know the events here. Moses was hid in an ark of bulrushes on the river. Pharaoh's daughter comes to wash herself, verse 5, and she sees the ark there among the flax or the reeds. And we're told in verse 6, and when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. In the providence of God, Moses' mother was asked to look out to him, and she was paid for doing so. Now note what Pharaoh's daughter says in verse 10. She called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. Here's deliverance. Let's just bring this all together. Pharaoh had ordered that the boys would be killed at birth. The godly midwives feared God and would do no such thing. Here's Moses, he's hid. But there's still danger. But here now comes deliverance. He's delivered from this danger. His life was preserved. And we're thankful that we were preserved from early days. Certain ones used instrumentally. We can think of Pharaoh's daughter, used instrumentally. Many little babies have been helped in the hospitals. But you consider how the Lord helped us. How the Lord preserved us. Psalm 22 verse 9. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Preservation there. Now we know that some never saw the light. The Lord looked out to them and took them straight to heaven. And he's caring for such now. So many. He's caring for so many little ones in the arms of the shepherd in heaven. But you consider how the Lord preserved you at that time. And the Lord kept you. Yes, I was cared for by my mother at that time. But particularly I was cared for by the Lord. And so was Jesus. We know that well-known psalm chiefly concerns Jesus, Psalm 22. And there in his humiliation, when he was so suffering, he looks back to very early days and see how the Lord preserved him. There was danger, but the Lord preserved him. There was danger for Moses, but the Lord preserved him. And in providence, he was taken from the water. He was no longer in danger. There was no threat to his life. His name means drawing out. Moses delivered. How the Lord delivers his people from danger. Interesting words in Psalm 18 verse 16. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. There were the waters of difficulty. Troublesome waters. But he sent from above graciously and he took me. He drew me out of many waters. How the Lord has come from above. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me. We've been through difficult times. Yet the Lord has delivered. We've been through dangerous times. Yet the Lord has delivered. Heaven sent favour. And the Lord lifted us. We were weighed down through affliction, but he lifted us up. Think of Moses. He was lifted up out of the waters. How many times the Lord has lifted us up out of the waters so far? And one day we'll be delivered totally. The last trial, the last danger will be behind us. We can look back today and we can trace God's hands. These are testing times. Yet the Lord has kept us and the Lord has delivered us. Remember John Newton of old, he wrote these words, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far and grace will lead me home. We've been through difficulties. Grace has brought us safe thus far And the Lord's grace is keeping us now and supporting us. His grace is sufficient for us in this very hour. And his grace will be sufficient for us in the future. He will lead us all the way home. Consider how the Lord was delivered. That psalm again, Psalm 18, verse 16, points to Jesus. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He was delivered. The Lord willing, we will consider this in Psalm 40 over these next few weeks. A new song in my mouth on the day of resurrection. Delivered from many waters. He was sinking, as we see in Psalm 69. But deliverance came, and deliverance comes. These are testing times. But God has not changed. He is faithful. You live for him. You exercise faith. You have this awe of him in your life. He is faithful. As he helped Moses, he will help you. You look to him. You live for him. And you trust him. This Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless his word. Amen. We turn to our final praise, Psalm 20. Psalm 20, verses 1 to 5. Jehovah, hear thee in the day when trouble he doth send. And let the name of Jacob's God thee from all ill defend. O let him help send from above, out of his sanctuary, from Zion his own holy hill, let him give strength to thee. What a comfort. And our prayers are heard. Psalm 20, the tune is Orton, verses 1 through to verse 5. Jehovah hear thee in the day when trouble he doth send. And notice verse 5, in thy salvation we will joy, in our God's name we will display our banners, and the Lord thy prayers all fulfill. In God's salvation, particularly focusing there upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we rejoice in him who is God's salvation, for through him we are helped, we're kept, and one day we will be seen home to heaven. Psalm 20.
Thank you.
end of this hour, O Lord, we would rejoice in thee. We would rejoice in thy salvation, our precious Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that thou would fulfil our prayers, answer them in accordance to thy most perfect and holy will, and be glorified, we pray. And, O Lord, we will display our banners, and we will display that banner of love. O Lord, we love thee, and we desire to make known thy love to others. O Lord, look on the banner. See love in our hearts now. See also that joy within. Lord, we have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Help us to faithfully serve our generation. May we be like the midwives, fearing thee. May we be like the parents of Moses, acting by faith. Oh, we trust thee this morning, and we love thee. Have all the glory, for Christ's sake. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.
Amen.